Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Another edition of What's Ailing America, one of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff, or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, non-traumatic seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. And please call me. Do not email me, folks. I'm getting hundreds of emails a day, and I'm hopelessly behind. So if you want to make sure you reach me, you need to call. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself, for we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, Station 2, and include the following: toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Excuse me, toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good, when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? I would like to thank the Americans Bulletin for sponsoring this show. The Americans Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, the true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, and what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more. You can subscribe to the Americans Bulletin by visiting their website, AmericansBulletin.com, or by calling 541-773-2756. The Americans Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year, 6 issues a year. It's a First Amendment forum for free-thinking people. And I would also like to remind any new listeners that I'm also now on the www.republicbroadcasting.org every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 2 hours. And it's working out very well because there are different audiences that are available at different times to listen to different broadcasts. So I encourage all of you that are available to check into that broadcast as well. Before I bring on my very special guest, I just want to make a couple of announcements. On April 19th, I actually gave a lecture in Chicago for the Maximized Living Chiropractors, and between 900 and 1,000 people attended. I haven't gotten the final count yet, but what was really disgusting was that the Generation Rescue group, GenerationRescue.org, as well as TACA, which stands for Talk About Curing Autism, were co-sponsoring the talk. And when they found out that I was the speaker, they ordered the chiropractor, Dr. Oxner, who was introducing me, to give a disclaimer that they do not necessarily agree with anything I say. So I just want all of you to know that are sending money to these autism organizations, especially TACA, Talk About Curing Autism Now. Well, of course, I can't cure anything because I'm not a white coat anymore. Only white coats can cure things with their drugs, and of course, it's funny how that never happens. But they are well aware of my work and that I have developed a protocol that's reversed over 2,000 cases of autism alone, and yet they are having this disclaimer read before my talk that they do not agree with what I say. So all of you that are supporting these groups, I wish you would start asking them some hard questions as to why are they ignoring the true cause of autism. It's really quite disgusting. And a week ago Tuesday, I was a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases in Kansas City, Missouri. The judge actually listened to me and agreed that this little girl had gotten asthma almost about 20 days after she got 7 vaccines on one day after never being vaccinated in her whole life. So that was pretty good how that worked out. And then went to the Constitutional Party Convention, where I tried to convince them to make vaccinations part of their platform, informing them that since so many of you are waking up as to the scourge that vaccines are causing on humanity, that this would cause people to run to their party, and this would actually put them, you know, in the spotlight. They weren't quite ready to go there, but they were considering whether or not to make that part of their resolution. So any of you that are really wanting to get out of these vaccinations on a mandatory level, please go to the Constitutional Party website and ask them, you know, or concur with me that this would be a good idea, because I know that that would be something that would really get them in the public's eye, and this would give us some hope, because the Constitutional Party platform is outstanding, and I have a copy of it here. I'm not going to go into it. You can find it on their website, but they actually want to abolish the IRS, get rid of the Federal Reserve, make marriage between men and women, the definition of marriage, make euthanasia illegal, all kinds of good stuff. So I do encourage you to check that out. And thankfully, Alan Keyes is not their presidential candidate. I had a personal meeting with Mr. Keyes, and I saw what a politician he truly is, and he ignored everything I was saying and spun it around, as all the politicians do. So their presidential candidate is Chuck Baldwin, and I'm going to see if I can maybe get him on the show. And we can't give up hope, folks. We have to keep on keeping on, because the truth is coming out every day on shows such as this, and more people are waking up. So do not give up hope. Okay, I would like to bring on my special guest now. He's a monthly contributor to the show, Chris Barr. He is an expert in nutrition, has taught me more than I ever learned in medical school about nutrition, and is also a health historian. And he's got an excellent website, notadoc.org, and he has many wonderful supplements that he teaches about, which can be found on choosetobehealthy.com. And I encourage you all to get his wonderful booklet on chromium, which you can also get on choosetobehealthy.com, and you will know more about this very important supplement than any white coat out there. So welcome to the show, Chris.
Well, thank you, Dr. Carley. Always a delight to be on the air with you.
Thank you. You're one of my favorite people to do those with, because it's just amazing how once we get going, I mean, we could go for weeks, Chris. It would be so easy. Chris has an amazing ability to find little snippets in the news that are hidden various places and to bring them out into the public eye and to show, I mean, it's just amazing how Big Pharma is, you know, always raised up by the mainstream media. And, but Chris is able to find those little factoids in the news that are always very enlightening. Is there anything in particular that you've possibly learned since we did a show yesterday on the other station, Chris, that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, there was one item since yesterday, and that is there was an item, I think it's in the Archives of Internal Medicine. They noted that women with low thyroids have an increased risk for heart disease and heart attacks. Of course, they don't have a clue as to why, but they did note that it is there. Now, it's amazing because I have such a wide and varied understanding of the complexity of the human body from a true life, which has to do with nutrition. There is no disease that is caused by a drug deficiency, not one. And so I see these headlines, and instantly I know what the answer is, just from the headline. And I said, well, of course they have more heart disease when they have low thyroid, because low thyroid is predominantly a selenium deficiency. And selenium is of primary importance for the heart. There are many aspects that enter into heart disease, but the selenium is certainly a very important one. So, you know, I saw the headline, and I just had to laugh because, you know, I read the study, I read the article, and, you know, they didn't have a clue. They just noted, hey, we discovered women with low thyroid activity have a much higher incidence of heart disease. So that was just in the news yesterday, since you asked about things since we last spoke yesterday afternoon.
Okay. And yes, I continue. I want people to know the main reason I watch Telive Vision is to see what they're feeding the sheep, so I can comment on it on my radio broadcast. Because, you know, you need to look through different eyes when you're watching this garbage. But it never fails to amaze me. There's a commercial on now for Bayer aspirin, where some woman is sitting there saying how she had a heart attack and, you know, her heart stopped and they brought her back with the defibrillator. And now she's taking one aspirin a day, and she realized that's why she was brought back to life, so she could share with other women the importance of taking Bayer aspirin every day. Isn't it amazing how aspirin has now become a supplement?
Yes, well, but they have to make sure that it's buffered aspirin. And
yeah, tell them why, Chris. I love this one.
And the buffering agent is magnesium. You see, it was discovered back in the 1950s. I believe it was Massachusetts General. It was a couple of different hospitals in Massachusetts that actually for some time were using massive infusions of magnesium in people who presented with heart attacks or with heart incidences to the hospital. And they noted that there was a dramatic decrease in further heart attacks or heart episodes in those that received these large infusions of magnesium. This went on for some time, and eventually they dropped it for, you know, who knows, whatever reason. It wasn't because they weren't having results. But sometime shortly thereafter, Bayer, which actually is one of the last vestiges directly tied to IG Farben that put the Nazis into power and kept them in power, by the way.
Produced the chemicals for their concentration camps.
Yes, that's right. You know, Hitler was a fine orator, but that's not what got him into power. It was IG Farben backing, along with the partnership that they had, a full and complete partnership with Ford, the Aluminum Company of America, Chevron Oil, the Rockefeller Complex, and the Bush and Harrimans, by the way, if you really want to get into that story, which I don't for purposes of this program. But anyway, that's what got Hitler into power. That's what kept him into power. It wasn't because he was such a smooth talker and he mesmerized people. They backed him financially. And then they did medical experimentations, much of which is used to this day in modern American medicine, while they shriek in horror at those terrible people for what they did. They utilized their results, and in truth, with not really any better humanity, they've just packaged it so it looks better. Bayer was the, it took about 15 years to go through the Nuremberg trials and to break off IG Farben carefully. Here's a little item that you may not know, Dr. Carley. When Berlin was leveled in 1945, and I have pictures of this, by the way, there was one about a square mile block that was untouched by any bomb. That was by orders of Allied command, and that was the headquarters of the IG Farben complex. Now, why would they level the entire town except for the one entity that actually placed and kept Hitler into power? For inquiring minds might want to know. Anyway, that's Bayer is one of the last direct vestiges of IG Farben. And so they knew already from the 50s about magnesium tied to the heart. So they did these Bayer buffered aspirin, and they called them aspirin experiments, and it's what today all of this aspirin supplement nonsense trash is done from. They backed reduction in heart attacks in those taking a daily intake of this buffered aspirin, so they declared aspirin to be this great savior that people believe to this day. Well, the fact of the matter is, they didn't use aspirin. They used buffered aspirin, and the buffering agent was magnesium. A significantly greater amount of magnesium than the salicylic acid, which is the actual aspirin component. And when tests were have been done, and there are many, you can look them, well, there's not a whole lot, because they don't do too many failing experiments, because they actually know what they're doing. But you can find studies where they used pure salicylic acid, aspirin, and they don't get those results of less heart attacks. It's only when they use buffered aspirin, and they never mention the magnesium component as far as in the study or in the research comments, but it is included in the study details as one of the ingredients of the aspirin being used. So it's magnesium that is the key, and not aspirin. Aspirin just makes them a lot of money because it's really cheap to produce. And what's really amazing, Dr. Carley, is the form of magnesium that they utilize is really a very inefficient form of magnesium. But they use such large quantities and on a constant basis, and when someone has an active heart disease problem, their body is starved for magnesium. So in the absence of anything else, the body will make use of whatever it can as far as minerals go. It it prefers and will always prefer a whole food magnesium, a grown variety, to the synthesized manufactured form. But in the absence of the good form, it'll take the, if you use large enough quantities, and that was the key to the Massachusetts hospital success, was they infused directly into the bloodstream large amounts of magnesium sulfate. So the whole idea of aspirin for the heart is a great big crock, and they know it. They have to know it.
They have to know it. And I just want to mention two things about that. I teach my clients this as well, all my clients with thyroid problems and heart problems and high blood pressure. I suggest they all take the brand that Chris taught me about, which I also take. It's made by a company called Innate Response, which you can order from choosetobehealthy.com. And it's an excellent form of magnesium, and it's made from whole foods. And it's very interesting, actually. When I was in medical school, when women were having something called eclampsia of pregnancy, where their blood pressures would soar out of control, and they were pregnant, that's the one time, the only time, that they taught us that you should use magnesium infusions to get the blood pressure under control. And, of course, you know, we use the pharmaceutical grade of magnesium, but the same thing holds true for that as what you were just saying about the buffering. So I remembered that from medical school, and I found that very interesting, that they never taught us to give magnesium supplements to, you know, your regular patient with high blood pressure. They always whip out the drugs, of course. And the other thing I wanted to mention was I have a client in Syracuse who's totally on my page and tells everybody about my work with vaccines, et cetera. And her husband was very antagonistic. You know, how dare his wife believe that she knows more than him? And he was one of these people taking aspirin every day for for his heart, you know, to protect his heart. So what I always teach my clients to do is to take one of those aspirins, put it in a spoon, and light a lighter underneath the spoon and burn off the acetylsalicylic acid. And what you will find remaining is coal tar. And coal tar is a well-known carcinogen. So, you know, they might have a little bit of magnesium in their aspirin, but the other stuff is really garbage, plus it's a carcinogen. So people just have to be aware of this fact and you know, not listen to this propaganda on TV about the aspirin a day will keep the white coat away. In fact, the aspirin a day was going to give you bleeding problems, possible cancer, and all kinds of other things. So, you know, I just love how you figure out how they're twisting and spinning things, Chris. It's really quite amazing. Since we have such different audiences based on the time differences between the two shows, I know we discussed this yesterday, but I would also very much like you to discuss about the Pope's visit and the significance of the date and what that's all relevant to.
Oh, yes. Well, the Pope arrived in America on the centennial anniversary of the death of Pierre-Jacques Antoine Béchamp. And, you know, I didn't know the Pope was coming to America. I just happened to hear the news and the day that he came, and it just brought so much flooding into my memory because, you know, while there were prominent news reports covering various protesters, especially addressing, you know, recent sex scandals in the Roman Catholic Church, my thoughts were drawn to another past tragedy never yet even addressed. You know, at the same time, there was a couple of days later, there was a movie released called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, that addresses the subject of evolution and the suppression of those who don't accept that paradigm blindly. Well, it was more than a decade ago, I believe it was 1996, that Pope John Paul II made headlines with an announcement accepting of evolution. It was an encyclical, some official document. You know, it made a lot of news, but it wasn't news to me because acceptance and protection of evolution by the Roman Catholic Church goes back almost to the very origin of that specious science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred from the faith. And by the way, that's a quote taken right out of the scriptures that the Roman Catholic Church claims to follow. First Timothy 6:20 and 21. Science that warns to beware of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred from the faith. Well, the Roman Catholic Church actively fought against practically the only champion that fought against evolution when it was first coming into prominence, and that was Dr. Antoine Béchamp. And the Roman Catholic Church fighting against Béchamp was fighting against one of its own in more ways than one. For you see, Dr. Carly, Antoine Béchamp was a man of deep and profound Christian faith. And in 19th century France, to be Christian was synonymous with being Roman Catholic. Scientific works of Béchamp recorded within the many of his writings, published scientific writings, they recorded specifically the affirmation of God that was solidified by the scientific findings that he made. So in the midst of a flourishing career in the French public university system, Béchamp received a plea from his beloved Catholic Church to head up the medical program at a new Catholic university at Lille, France, on the northwest coast of France. Well, he heeded this call out of devotion to his church, in spite of colleagues that pleaded with him against this decision. Well, as the Battle of Béchamp heated up, right about that same exact time, against the errors of evolution, and also against the errors and lies of that thieving scoundrel Louis Pasteur, in those years immediately following his entrance at the Catholic University at Lille, there was constant interference and strong opposition from Roman Catholic Church officials, both official priests, religious, and administrative officials there at the Catholic University. Now, Bisham was astounded by his own beloved church fighting against truth. There were even threats made about placing his writings on the index. Now, for those that don't know their history, which is most people, sadly, the index was and is the list of books banned by the Roman Catholic Church. And this is what served as the cornerstone for the Inquisition. And that list was maintained up until just a few years ago officially. I wouldn't be surprised if it's unofficially kept up, but I think it was the 1960s it was officially kept up. So people who think the Inquisition ceased centuries ago, well, they're wrong. Anyway, after more than a decade of interference from Roman Catholic Church officials, it finally just got too much for Bisham, and he resigned from the Catholic University at Lille, where he had founded their medical program that continues to this day. And a bereft Bisham, now without academic backing, continued his researches alone for more than two decades, which was very taxing and difficult then, as it is now, to work without any kind of benefactors. And the forces brought against him by his beloved Roman Catholic Church and academia at large have so far expunged Bisham and the greater truth of his science research from the history of science, and this to the great detriment of the masses of humanity. It's interesting. This isn't just a Catholic issue, because, it happened to be Catholic in the case of Bisham, because if you were a Christian in France, that's what you were, was Catholic in the 19th century. But organized religion has continued to this day as perhaps the greatest of benefactors to the falsities and half-truths of modern medicine. And always remember, a half a truth is a whole lie. In the meantime, the fullness of truth from Bisham is largely buried with him 100 years after the death of this greatest of scientists who ever lived, if credentials count, which is what they usually tell us, isn't it, Dr. Carley? Where are your credentials? Nobody in history had more or better credentials than Bisham, and nobody knows him.
Well, not only his credentials, but the truth of which he spoke and the common sense that was present in his work. And I would encourage all the listeners to go to notadot.org and read what Chris has written about Bisham. He has an excellent book called The Blood and Its Third Element. It is a little bit technical, so it's kind of hard for people to understand just reading the book. But I had gotten from Crusader Magazine the issue that you had suggested everybody get from March and April of 2008, where Chris wrote an outstanding article, or actually they interviewed him to honor Antoine Bisham, the gentle giant of science and medicine, which I have right here. And I loved in this article how you went back into Scripture and mentioned different things, such as a quote from 1 Timothy 6:20, and there's a few other quotes in there as well. But this is so important, because people have to start asking themselves the question, why are the churches backing pharmakia? Pharmakia is sorcery, and that is the actual basis on which they have established all of these drugs. And, of course, no disease is a drug deficiency. Why aren't the churches teaching their flocks the truth? As a matter of fact, I have somebody coming on next week who's going to go into this further in terms of the big biblical references to health and nutrition. And I was just talking to this man today, John Horner. He's a pastor, and he referred me to 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, actually. The first verse, and this is what it says. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. How is it, Chris, that the churches don't seem to get it? and in fact are even going as far as to have vaccine clinics in the churches, which really horrifies me. And as you so wonderfully found back in December of 2006, this article that was buried in the entertainment section of Yahoo, where they actually talk about religious leaders uniting to launch $1 billion, with a B, dollar vaccine bond. And this includes the Pope, let's see, the Chief Rabbi, Jonathan Sachs, the Muslim Council of Britain, the Hindu Forum of Britain, and the Network of Sikh Organizations. They're all in on this, Chris. They're all in on getting the people sick. And this just shows how corrupt these various, modern-day religions have become.
Well, it's organized, institutionalized religion.
Exactly.
And I think it's the institutionalization of just about anything that what we see as corrupt. You know, it's interesting, Dr. Carly, it took 4 centuries for the Roman Catholic Church to apologize by way of Pope John Paul II for its treatment of Galileo. So now this... 2 weeks ago, we entered into the second century since the death of Basham. So it remains to be seen whether the Roman Catholic Church is getting any better about confession for past sins.
Yes.
It only took 4 centuries to apologize to Galileo. So they've got almost 300 years to go to improve their record in the case of Basham. I'm not holding my breath.
Definitely not. And all I can say is, hope is that these minions go to the sorcerers, i.e. the medical devils, as I found out that B.J. Palmer, the founder of chiropractic, calls MDs. I hope that these minions go to the medical devils for their, health, quote-unquote, in treatment, so that they can, get what they deserve, reap what they have sown, because they have led so many down the wrong path. And another thing I wanted to mention from this excellent article that you wrote in the March-April 2008 Crusader was where you talked about the Flexner Report. I was astounded to learn from your research that that was actually commissioned in the fall of 1908. And just so the listeners know, the Flexner Report is what's responsible, in my opinion, for the fall of medicine. This is how they standardized medical training in all medical schools. And what that has eventually led to by standardizing it is that they're lied to about everything. And as I always tell people, I got 10 hours of nutrition in medical school and 2 years of pharmacology.
Well, I hope everyone listening will get a copy of that issue from Crusader, because that is the single most important health article that I have ever written. And arguably, it's the single most important health article anyone has ever written. Not because I wrote it, but because of the content and the subject matter. It goes to a lot of detail, but it's very accessible.
And it's very understandable, too, I just want to also say, because that's very important. Like I mentioned, Antoine Bachamp's writings are a little hard to decipher. You need help to do so. But I really, do you think, would they still send that article, that issue, to the listeners if they should contact the Crusader?
Yes, absolutely they would. They better. If not, they can email me, and I'll get after them about it. But I'm virtually certain they still have those.
Yeah, and their number is 800-593-6273. That's 800-593-6273. And I really encourage everybody listening to just call that number and ask them to please send you the March-April 2008 issue. This is so important because Chris brings it all together. Bachamp, as well as Louis Pasteur, I loved what you wrote about him, how he had basically forbidden his writings to be released, but by the time everyone that knew him and his family had pretty much died off, and his relatives that were left, they didn't know him, so they didn't really care, and they basically gave them to the government for a tax deduction, and it's quite amazing what those papers revealed.
Yes, because Louis Pasteur admitted experiments that he just made up out of the blue. He never did them. He just wrote down to justify things that he wrote that also were wrong. And people that he stole things from, people that he hurt. It's amazing. He admits, people usually think of Richard Nixon and his taping when they think of people incriminating themselves. But Richard Nixon had nothing on Louis Pasteur because he documented everything. It's amazing because I already knew before that information came out that he made up experiments, because it was evident back in the 20s there were people actually in the 19-teens that were screaming, look, this guy's a fake. This experiment doesn't work. When it comes to anything that's credited to Pasteur that has any truth in it at all, he took from Bisham, or in some cases he took from other people on other occasions. He's just a fraud. He wasn't very smart as a scientist, except in physics related to crystallography. He was very good with that, but that's the extent of his genius as far as science goes. But he was the greatest salesman who ever lived. I want to go back to the Flexner Report, because that's really astounding when you see that the Flexner Report was financed by Andrew Carnegie and by John D. Rockefeller for the express purpose of pushing their agenda. Because, back in 1908, all this black goop in the ground, today we call oil or black gold, there weren't a lot of cars around in 1908, and they had all this goop and not a lot to do with it. But they could make drugs out of it, and they still do, for that matter. Yeah. Same thing for coal tar byproducts, which is the source of so many drugs. And by the way, the largest percentage of synthetic so-called nutrients, which is more than 90% of everything in the marketplace, are made from petroleum byproducts and coal tar byproducts as well. So the real purpose of that report was to set up a monopoly with using education ostensibly. But interesting that Andrew Carnegie was one of the primary funding agents, and Andrew Carnegie was also the primary funding agent against Nikola Tesla. So it's really amazing that the two greatest minds, one dealing with our health, one dealing with energy, two of the hot button items today in 2008, were both put down by Andrew Carnegie and the Carnegie Foundation. Dale Carnegie was also involved. John D. Rockefeller intricately involved. And to give you an idea of the corruptness of this report, what Flexner did ostensibly was to go to every state in the Union and examine the state of medical education or health education. And the conclusion he came to, which of course was prearranged in advance, was that the state of health education was a shambles, and they proposed, for the sake of the people, which of course the people they were talking about unmentioned was John D. Rockefeller, the Carnegies and Mellons, etc., but they said we need to concentrate on the German hospital drug-based system of medicine to unify our efforts. Of course, that got rid of the homeopaths, the naturopaths, the herbalists, the eclectics, and shut all of them down considerably. And interesting to show the corruptness of this document, Flexner really railed against Tennessee, said that there wasn't a single institution in Tennessee that would stand his standards, would stand up. But he said for the sake of this report, that every state needed to have at least one. So he recommended that efforts be made to help Vanderbilt University and to prop up Vanderbilt University so that there was at least one representative in Tennessee. Of course, Vanderbilt today is looked at as this great structure of health and medicine. But if you know the things that I know about their history, and even in recent history, you know what charlatans they really are. Well, what he didn't tell in that report, but history records, is that the summer neighbor and fishing buddy of Abraham Flexner was the chancellor of Vanderbilt University.
Interesting.
And that's the way the game has been played for 100 years since then. Health freedom died with Bisham. And it will not return. I firmly believe that health freedom will only return to the degree that the works of Bisham return to prominence.
And to the degree that the people demand it. And I actually was listening to some CDs that I got when I was at the Constitutional Party convention, and one was an interview of an attorney who tries to do the right thing, a former prosecutor that they're constantly now putting in jail for contempt and things because he tries to do the right thing for his clients. And he said something which I really liked. He said, a nation of sheep will be ruled by wolves. And that's what people have to do, is realize they have to take their power back. They have to start demanding of their representatives at every level and of everybody that they deal with that they're allowed to have health freedom, because that's one of the most important messages I'm trying to get people to realize, is that these treatments that they're prescribing you are not only killing you. I mean, death is bad enough, but how are you going to die? I mean, you know, chemotherapy, are you going to have gangrene and have your limbs chopped off? How do you want to go, folks? And there was just an article on April 24th in the Charlotte Observer on page 3B, and we discussed this yesterday as well, this Dr. Buttar in Raleigh, who the medical board is now going after him for having the audacity to use chelation therapy, hydrogen peroxide, and hyperbaric oxygen therapy for cancer patients, and they're telling him that his therapies are unproven and don't meet with the standards of the medical practices of North Carolina. So that's what you have to realize, folks, is that any doctor who does the right thing and stands up for the true ways of healing, although I don't particularly like chelation myself, it's very bad on the kidneys, but the point is that Dr. Buttar is helping lots of people, and because of the fact that he's doing the right thing, they're using his charges to the patients and the tests that he order as an excuse to try to take away his license. So, folks, you really have to stand up for the people that are trying to tell you the truth and trying to do the right thing. And as I said, to demand that you be allowed to continue to do natural therapies. And, of course, the Codex Alimentarius legislation that these minions in the District of Criminals passed a couple of years ago is a very big threat to us. Have you heard any more word on that, Chris, how that whole situation is progressing?
Well, Codex is primarily tied up with infighting for the last 2 years or so, and I haven't seen any signs of that breaking up. They're kind of infighting for power and control right now, so for the time being, we're somewhat safe from that.
Excellent. Let them fight. And actually, I wanted to mention one other thing that we had also discussed yesterday. In regards to this ridiculous situation that's going on in Texas, where over 400 children have been removed from this, cult, as they're calling it. And, of course, I don't particularly agree with the idea of polygamy. I think it's totally against scripture and it's not the way to go. But the fact that the government has been allowed to go in like vultures and steal all these children, and the things that I'm hearing about, first of all, the fact that the initial report made that activated them was a scam to begin with. I heard yesterday that one of the young girls had given birth in a hospital, and you can be sure the first thing they did was inoculate that little baby with hepatitis B and all the other crap that they do. But what's really scary, Chris, as we had discussed, is the fact that now, and this was reported in the Charlotte Observer on page 10A on 424, that the Supreme Court has now affirmed that police have the power to conduct searches and seize evidence, even when done during an arrest that turns out to have violated state law. So they can make up anything they want. They can just, have any false person call in a report on somebody or whatever the case may be, and go into a home and see what you got, and how many things are illegal in this day and age. I mean, we're getting to the point where natural things are going to be illegal, colloidal silver, whatever the case may be. But this is chilling that they are actually now making such a ruling in the Supreme Court.
Well, there's a very good reason that they're making such rulings, that is, for the first time in the history of America, the majority of the Supreme Court justices, Roberts, Alioto, Scalia, Thomas, and Kennedy, if you look at their educational resume, they are all Jesuit-trained for the first time in the history of America.
That that why that's important, Chris, because I also want to mention Chris had actually informed me of that little factoid that Alan Keyes is also Jesuit-trained, and now I understand totally he was sent in as a spoiler. God forbid this Constitutional Party actually start making some headway. Please explain to the listeners why that's so important, Chris, because that is key.
Well, the Jesuits are the military arm of the Vatican. They parade under the Society of Jesus, and they parade themselves as educational scholars, but they were actually the ones who led the Inquisition, if it, in fact, ever stopped. And that's very significant, although very few people are aware of that. Also interesting that Stephen Breyer, who's way on the opposite side from those five justices on the liberal end, I also have a photograph of him very, very chummy with the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. in the District of Criminals. And for those who don't know their history, which is most, the District of Criminals was granted, given as a gift, from Mary's Land, the state of Maryland, which was the Catholic colony. That's why it was named Maryland. That's where the District of Criminals was granted, the land for that place. So, I mean, there are all kinds of intricate ties there. Also, pharmaceutically speaking as well. Again, pharmaceutical, they're admitting who they are because the origin of that word is sorcerers, sorceries, and witchcraft. And there is no positive usage of that word in the Greek. It only refers to sorcerers, sorceries, and witchcraft. The new Chief Justice is heavily invested in pharmaceuticals, including Pfizer, especially in Pfizer. It's only going to get worse as far as anyone that thinks the Supreme Court is going to do anything about these things. That's of great significance and concern, although hardly anybody knows, so nobody's really concerned except for the people that I've told. I haven't talked with anybody who's known this about the educational background of the five justices, and again, I have a recent photograph of Stephen Breyer with the real chummy, laughing together, chumming it up with the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. So that's kind of interesting.
As a matter of fact,
also,
I just want to mention that these judges are supposed to recuse themselves from any cases in which they would have a vested interest, such as, you know, if they had stock in a pharmaceutical company, they should not be involved in that case if it was heard before the Supreme Court, and things of that nature. And they break that conflict of interest rule all the time. And it's just...
Well, the very first day of the new Chief Justice, the very first day he sat on the bench, there was a case about health freedom in Oregon in which he soundly and roundly spoke against one of the parties there, noting that that the federal government is the final arbiter of all matters medical, and not individuals or any other groups. So that was his first day on the bench with all of his pharmaceutical holdings, which the last filing before he became Chief Justice showed somewhere between $5 and $25 million in pharmaceutical holdings. And
well,
so,
Chris, please repeat that again, because that is so outrageous. I mean, that's practicing medicine without a license. Please say that again, what you just said. That is so important, what he said about them being the final arbiter.
Yeah, the current Supreme Court Chief Justice, his first day on the court, made that statement about that the federal government is the final arbiter in all matters having to do with health, and not states or individuals. I'm trying to see if I can dig that out of my files. I think it was about 2 years ago. I love doing broadcasts with you, Dr. Carly, because you bring so many things to mind. Oh, here we go. Found it.
About these things. I love doing broadcasts with you as well. And I just want to point out to the listeners how important that is, because if you don't realize that your health is the most important thing, if you don't have health, you have nothing. And these criminals, subtly and slowly over time, they are doing everything they can to control your ability to have health. And people really have to rise up and just say no to this. As I always say, I don't promote revolution, but rather an evolution of consciousness. But if enough of us just said no to these people, how dare they? You know, it's so outrageous that they're right in our face and making statements like that. How come the person isn't the final arbiter of their health? I mean, that's in the Constitution. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Creator gave us our bodies and gave us our health. How come the government's taking control of that, Chris? How does that work?
Well, I have a quote from the Associated Propaganda article on that first day of Roberts' day on the court. The article noted Roberts, quote, as an aggressive defender of federal authority regarding medicine and health care.
Wow.
So,
and that's why you have to get behind the Constitution Party, folks. I'm telling you, if you read their platform, you will realize that this is the party that we need to have representatives at all level. And as horrified as I am to even think about this, I may actually get involved in some way because I met the North Carolina delegates when I was there in Kansas City. And this is so important. We have to restore the Constitution to this country. We have to maintain the right to be in control of our own bodies. And especially, as Chris has always pointing out, and he's going to be a guest on the show every first Thursday of the month, folks, so make sure you tune in, because he's such a wealth of information. But we have to get people to realize how important it is for them to be able to say no to these drugs. We've had shows about the Mother's Act, where they're now trying to force pregnant women to be psychiatrically evaluated so they can be put on psych drugs. This is happening at the same time that there's class action suits going on against the psychiatric drug manufacturers for fetal defects being caused by psychiatric drugs. You know, this is like living in the Twilight Zone. How could this even be? And everything else that they're doing, forcing us with inoculations, get ready for the bird flu vaccine, the list goes on and on. But people have the power to stop this. They're the only ones that do. And I just really hope that everybody will care enough about their own health and that of their children to get involved in whatever level their spirit leads them to do. Even if it's only to investigate these things and share it with their loved ones, they have a responsibility to do this.
Yes, it's personal responsibility that made this nation great when it once was great and not run by robber barons, which started more than 100 years ago. And that's the way that it will return to greatness, if it will return to greatness, will be by personal responsibility. And that's the key to health. That's the key to your being healthy or your not being healthy. People have abdicated their personal responsibility to MDeities, which is also a violation of Scripture, to have no other deity before me. Unless people will take their responsibility back for their own health, they're basically going to be sitting ducks. In fact, somebody got a little upset with me when there were hearings in D.C., the District of Criminals, about the Chinese pollution of drugs and these people dying from heparin and people boo-hooing. And I said, good, they deserve what they got. And somebody was like, what? And I said, they've abdicated their personal responsibility. They died from taking bad drugs? Tough, too bad, they shouldn't have done it.
Well, first of all, the idea of a good drug in itself is like a joke. And I just have to say that my mother died right before Christmas last year. Of course, a prophet is not known in their own land. My own family doesn't listen to me, except for my biological father is starting to tune in a little bit. But my mother had developed diabetes. She got gangrene. One of her toes fell off during some trauma. She ended up going to the hospital where, of course, they started infusing her with antibiotics, which led her into renal failure. And rather than go on dialysis, she just told them to let her go. And it's just so amazing when you watch these things happen and there's nothing you can do. And, of course, it's because people, like you said, Chris, they don't want to take responsibility for themselves. They can do any bad thing that they want to do to their health. As long as they go to the doctor and the doctor says, all you got to do is take this little pill and you'll be fine. And, of course, they're never fine, but it's so much easier to do that than to actually spend the time to investigate the truth and to, you know, eat proper foods and do those kinds of things.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing. You mentioned Dr. Buttars earlier. After you spoke with me yesterday, I did some extensive investigation on that. They're actually building most of their case not so much on his doing chemotherapy as that he charged $10,000 or $20,000 for a month or 2 months of service for people with terminal cancer. And I had to laugh because that's cheap compared to what they normally charge.
It's jump change, but you see, this was out of pocket because the people that go to the white coats have that expensive garbage paid for by their insurance companies, which is a whole other level of the fraud that's going on.
But they also they also criticized him for billing the patients' estates after they had died. Well, I've seen and heard those stories for decades. That's common in the practice of medicine. So, but he's in trouble for that.
Well, just because somebody dies doesn't mean they don't have to pay their bills. But anyways, I can't believe how fast the time flies when we're on the air, Chris. We're already out of time. I want to thank you so much for enlightening all of us with your wealth of information again. And as I said, folks, he'll be on the first Thursday of every month, so be sure to stay tuned for these shows. And thank you for everything you're teaching me, Chris. I'm so grateful that you came into my life.
Well, I'm delighted to have you in my life as well. That we've crossed paths. I'm very honored to be on your broadcast anytime that we're able to hook up.
We're taking care of business. Okay, Chris, we'll talk to you next month, and keep on sending me that gold that you send me on a regular basis.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Carly.
Okay, good night.